Father, we thank you. We appreciate you because you are ever faithful. Thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us. We thank you so much even for this opportunity to come together today to hear your word. Oh, we are grateful. We are grateful unto you. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, the Bible says that three are gathered in your name. There you are in the midst of them. Lord, even through this forum, as we are connected together as a church, Lord, unto you. We pray, O Lord, that your presence will be awesome even in our midst in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Father and our God. We pray, O Lord, that you will reach out unto us in your loving kindness, in your mercy, Lord, in your compassion. And Lord, you will declare your whole counsel even unto every one of us this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, whatever that is going to hinder even the communication this morning, Father, we subdue in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty Father, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to set the captive free, to open the prison to the prisoner, to heal the broken hearted. Father, we pray, O Lord, that even as your word comes forth this morning, let the captive be set free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the broken hearted be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let, O God, the prisoner be set free in the name of Jesus. Let the discouraged, O God, be encouraged, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, O Lord, let those who are, O God, weak, let them receive strength in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Almighty Father, the Bible says you sent forth your word and it kills us and delivers from all our destruction. Lord, we pray this morning, as you send your word even unto us, we pray, let it bring healing, let it bring deliverances in the name of Jesus. Lord, let our strength be renewed, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, every distraction within and without, Lord, we cancel by your blood in Jesus' name. Let your word come expressly, even unto us in Jesus' name. Let nothing hinder it in Jesus' name. Lord, the technology that we are using, Lord, it will not be a barrier, but Lord, it will, O God, Lord, do your bidding in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, to do, O God, that what you have for us today, none of us shall miss it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let the blessing be ours. Let glory be yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I commit myself unto you. I pray that you will, O God, empower me. You, O God, lead me by your spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as an instrument in your hands, I pray that you will use me, O God, Lord, even to reach out to your people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. We're grateful to you. We bless you because you are a faithful Father. Holy Spirit divine, we surrender all things unto you. Have your way. Glorify your name even in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, our Father. We are grateful to you because you are a faithful Father. For in Jesus' name, we are praying.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we are praying.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to believe that we can all hear me clearly now. And again, we want to apologize for the interruption that we had during the prayer session. So we're trusting God that things have been corrected now and the Lord will take control as we continue in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning, we are going to be listening to a message that is titled, When I Shut Heaven. When I Shut Heaven. I know that this is a very popular verse of the scripture to every believer, particularly in a time like this. And this is taken from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. And it says, when I shut heaven and there is no rain, and I command locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I will stop there for now. As we continue, we'll still move into verse 14. But Like I said earlier, that this is a very popular verse that many of us were quite familiar with. Many of us, we can say it without opening our Bible. But it is very important that we look at what this verse is saying very closely so that we can get more understanding. So there are a few things we are going to be looking at from this, you know, verse of the scripture, particularly the first sentence that says, "When I shut heaven." When I shut heaven. We know that the person that is talking there is the Almighty God Himself. And there's something that God is trying to, you know, express here. So we can see that God is expressing His, you know, sovereign power and His supremacy power. He said, "When I shut heaven." So it is not given unto anybody to do that. It is only the Almighty God. This is an expression of the sovereignty and the supremacy, you know, power of God. So God says, "When I shut heaven." And as believers, we are supposed to have an understanding of whom God is. When we have an understanding of whom God is, He's going to guide us in the way we relate to Him. And He's going to guide us in the way we talk as well. Because when you do not have a knowledge of the God that you serve, then you are bound to make a lot of error. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So it is very important for us to ask, you know, to look closely whom this God is. So we're going to be looking at some points that talked about, you know, the sovereignty and the supremacy power of our God. From that passage that we read, he said, "When I shut heaven." So this clearly tells us that God has the power to shut heaven. God has the power to shut heaven. And we know that when the heaven is shut, then it shows that there will be no rain, according to that scripture. So, and what does that mean? There is no blessing will not be able to come down. So there may be crisis, there may be confusion, there may be so many things. Because God is the one who created the heaven and the earth. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, He said, "In the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth." So the one who created the heaven and the earth, if He shut heaven, then there is bound to be problem. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, equally make us to understand that He owns the key of David. He opened a door and no one can shut it. So He opened a door, no one can shut it. He owns the key of the, He owns the key even to shut and to open it. And if He decides to shut, nobody can open it. It does not matter who that person, you cannot open it because God is in charge. So I want us to have this understanding. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. He says, He's the one who created the heaven and the earth by His mighty power, by His outstretched hand. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Our God is the one who created the heaven and the earth by His mighty power, by His outstretched hand. He said, "There is nothing too hard for Him to do." So we are talking about the sovereignty and supremacy of our God. So He has unlimited power to shut heaven or to open it. Again, He is unquestionable. You cannot question Him. Our God is unquestionable. He said, "When I shut heaven." So who is going to question Him if He shut heaven? Because He's the one who created the heaven and the earth. So if the power is given unto Him to do whatever He wants to do, He is unquestionable. You cannot question Him. The judge of this earth may pass a sentence unto you, and you may appeal. And the appeal may be overruled, or you may be lucky. Even if it is overruled, the president or the prime minister of a country can still, again, overrule that. But when God passes a sentence, nobody can overrule it. The best you can do is to cry for mercy. So, Our God is unquestionable. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3 to 6. Let's see what the word of God says. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3 to 6. I read. Said, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Isaiah 49, verse 9 to 10. Isaiah 45, verse 9 to 10. Says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Praise the Lord. So our God is unquestionable. As believers, we are supposed to have this understanding. We cannot question him, but we can ask for mercy. The next point is that our God is changeth not. He does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Our God does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he changeth not. He does not change. So we need to have this understanding of whom God is. Again, our God is a covenant-keeping God. He's a keeper of promises. His decisions are justifiable. He's a covenant-keeping God. You can rely on him. You can depend on him. All his decisions are justifiable. He's a just God. He's not like the judge of this earth that can be faulty, even in their, you know, their judgments. God can never be faulty. He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his promises to those who, you know, keep to his own covenant as well. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Say, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And that's our God for us. He's a covenant-keeping God. It does not matter what is happening, even in a time like this. He keeps his covenant. We need to have that understanding. Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. He says, he's a covenant-keeping God. His covenant will not break nor alter anything that is gone out of his lips. Our God keeps covenant. Number 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. He said, he's not a man that he should lie, neither is he son of a man that he should repent. Will he say a thing, shall he not do it? Our God is a covenant-keeping God. So I want us to have an understanding that in a time like this, let's still remember he's a covenant-keeping God. Don't lose your trust in him. He keeps his covenant with everyone, you know, that keep his commandment. As long as you keep his commandment, He is a covenant-keeping God. It does not matter what is happening. And the last point there is that he can open individual or community heavens in the midst of general closed heaven. God can open the heaven upon your own life. It does not matter what is happening in the entire nation or in the whole world. God has the power to. We have a little bit of this. Sometimes you are walking down the street and all of a sudden, maybe it was raining, and then you realize that the next step you take is not raining just few meters away from you. And when we were young children, we were curious about things like this. And we have seen a situation where it is snowing where you are coming from, and then you move to the next side, few meters, and it's not snowing inside. So that tells us what our God is capable of doing. These scientists, they may say all sorts of things. They cannot control that. It is only given unto our God to control that. Similarly, God can choose to open upon individual lives while the heaven upon the entire nation is closed. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 25 to 26. Exodus chapter 9 from verse 25 to 26. Exodus chapter 9 from verse 25 to 26. And the Bible says, and the hail throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every half of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that tells us our God is capable of doing whatever he wants to do. He has, you know, he has the supreme power, which is not given in man. So even in a time like this, for sure, that as long as you are connected with him, the heaven upon your life will continually remain him. So this is the children of Israel. Even when they were in the land of Egypt, there was confusion. There was problem everywhere. People were dying. But God's divine protection was in the area they were, and nothing happened to them. Remember, we said the word of God tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not never changed. So what he has done before, he will still do it, and he will do it now, and he will still continue to do it. Hold on to the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
According to the title, he said, when I shut heaven. So that means our God can shut heaven. He can do whatever he wants to do. But remember that our God is a covenant-keeping God, even in the midst of this. A reckless God. Our God is not the judge of that can do things that cannot be justified. And more importantly, our God is merciful. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go to the next point. Say, how can you unlock your heaven? We have just looked at the sovereignty and supremacy of our God. Now we want to look at how can you unlock your heaven? How can you unlock your heaven? You cannot unlock heaven by grumbling. You cannot unlock heaven by questioning God. You cannot unlock heaven by complaining. All of this will never work. You cannot unlock heaven by manifesting any form of pride. You cannot unlock heaven by any form of ignorance. All of this will never work. Because we have a God that has supreme power. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 gives us an idea of how we can unlock heaven. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, they shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive them their sin, and I will heal their land. We know in the past, we have talked about prayer extensively. We're not going to talk too much about that. We know that what we have learned in the past, we need to put it into practice. So we don't need to be told again that we need to be more prayerful in a time like this. We have to. If we have been praying before, we need to pray more. We cannot stop praying. We cannot overpray. Jesus Christ warned us. He said, pray lest you fall into temptation. And it is the same temptation that will make a governor of New York, you know, to make that open declaration that, you know, they brought down the number of the victim of coronavirus, that God did not do it. So when people do not pray, when people do not rely on God, they can say all sorts of things. They can ignorantly talk. But thank God, you and I, We are not like that. We have a better understanding that we know that we need to pray in a time like this. And I pray that the Lord will release upon us the spirit of grace and supplication more than ever before in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We will not attempt to do things by our own wisdom. We will not depend on the past glory, but we will seek the face of God. We will totally rely on Him through even, you know, persistent prayer to help us even in a time like this. So that passage, again, talks about prayer. It talks about, you know, humility. It talks about, you know, forsaking our wicked ways. But there are some other things I want us to look into. The book of Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Say, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you are desperate for God and you are thirsty for him, the Bible says God will respond. For those who call upon his name, they will be saved. So as you continue to call upon the name of God, the Lord will hear you, the Lord will hear me, the Lord will hear us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that's Proverbs 18, verse 10. It said that the name of our God is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. As long as you are desperate for him, you recognize that he's the only one who can save you. As long as you are thirsty for him, the Bible says you will be saved. We hear this every now and then. People will tell you, keep safe, keep safe. How? You can ask, how? How can you keep safe? You cannot save yourself. It has become a slogan. It has become an optimistic word. But remember, those may not help us at this time. It is only the name of our God that can help us. Because the Bible says the name of our God is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So people of God, I will encourage you, keep running to the name of the Lord. And as you continue to run unto that name, you will remain saved. We will remain saved in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29 verse 13. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 said, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you are desperate for God, you are thirsty for him. The Bible says you will find him. Brethren, are you desperate for him at this time? Are you thirsty for him? As long as you are desperate for him and you search for him with all of your heart, the Bible says you will find him. God is not far away as many of us we think. The problem is that we are not searching for him with all of our heart. As long as we search for him with all of our heart, we will find him. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 23 to 25. The children of Israel, this is their own experience. The Bible says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And we know the following chapter, God raised up Moses to go and deliver his people. This is what your God and my God can do when we are desperate for him. When we search him with all of our heart, he will go to any extent to ensure our deliverances. Again, the next point is that when you are loyal and faithful to God, regardless of what is happening, it should not affect your loyalty to God. It should not affect your faithfulness unto God. In fact, God is using this opportunity to look at the people or to confirm those who are actually faithful or loyal to him. This may be a test of time, even to many of us. Will you deny God at this time? What are your experiences at this time? Will you deny him? Are you faithful? Do you still remain loyal to God? We may be meeting through this forum. Are you faithful to him even through this forum? In various ways, are you faithful in praying to others? Are you faithful in reaching out to your brethren who are out there to know how they are faring, to give them word of encouragement, so you can still be faithful? Are you praying for your nation? Are you praying for your land? Are you praying for our political leaders, our spiritual leaders? So there is so much you can still do as an expression of your faithfulness unto our God, even in a time like this. We remember Joseph. He was in the prison for an offense that he never committed. But he was an instrument of encouragement. So you can still do the same thing. Thank God we are only under restriction, but your mind has not been in prison. Your mind has not been in prison by the special grace of God. My mind has not been in prison. I can still reason well. You can still reason well. So that means whatever that is happening now is not, it does not have the power over your mind. God has given you, has given me that power, you know, to still make our mind right with him. Do you have the right standing with God? Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 to 3. Let's look at the story of a king there. King Ezekiah. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, in those days, Ezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order,
for you shall die and not live. Then Ezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. And Ezekiah wept bitterly. Praise the Lord. When God passed a judgment, a sentence, you cannot appeal. The Bible says Ezekiah wept. That's a sign of humility. That's a sign of complete surrender. That's a sign of saying, God, have mercy on me. And one more important thing that Ezekiah held on to was his testimony. And what was the testimony? He said, remember, O Lord. Remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. Can you pray like this to God? Can I pray like this to God? This kind of prayer can touch God. When you have walked with God with a loyal heart and you are facing some challenges and you talk to God like this, God will honor his word. Remember, we said our God is a covenant-keeping God. So, brethren, it is not too late. It doesn't matter your past experience. It is time for you to begin to realize that there is need for us to be loyal unto this God, because challenging times will come. And when those challenging times will come, your testimony, you can recall it. You can bring this before God, not to show self-righteousness, but to ask for the mercy of God. Remember, Ezekiah wept bitterly. He was not defending himself. He was not justifying his work before God. He was only saying, God, have mercy. Remember, this my loyalty unto you. A few years ago, I remember one of our sisters in our Saskatoon church, and she gave a testimony. And what happened to her? She was having miscarriage upon miscarriage, and eventually this particular pregnancy stood. But at the point of delivery, the enemy waged war, and she delivered the baby. As if that was not enough, the baby ended up in ICU, and it was at the point of coma. We pray as a church. And this sister, she went to God with her husband too, and they prayed. And they said, God, remember our work for you. Show mercy. And God honored that prayer, and God answered that prayer. We know then, by the special grace of God, they were faithful brethren, as far as we can see as human beings. So, when you are facing challenges, which may come, either we like it or not, so can you pray a prayer like this? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And again, another thing that can unlock your personal heaven is giving God unusual sacrifice. Giving God unusual sacrifice. Not just the regular sacrifice that everybody can give, but unusual one that can move the hand of God. Let's see what the Bible says. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. He says, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Imagine, human being like you and her, he gave unto God burnt offering. And God was moved. He gave God unusual offering. Again, let's all look at 2 Chronicles Second Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5 and verse 12. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5 and verse 12. It says, King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon. That's verse 12. By night. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Brethren, we all quote this scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. But the genesis of it is what we have just read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, and 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5 and verse 12. That was the genesis. Because somebody gave God unusual offering, and God was moved. And then God began to say a lot of things. He said, when I shut heaven, and there is no rain, and I command the locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people. And if my people, which are called by my name, they shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them their sin and heal their land. That was the Genesis. So that tells us that God is looking for people that will give him unusual sacrifice. Brethren, the Bible says, many are called, few are chosen. By the special grace of God, you and I, we are among the few. But we don't want to remain at that. God is looking for people that will give him unusual sacrifice. Whatever you are giving to God, what is it costing you? Is it costing you some fortune? God is looking for, you know, sacrifice that comes from our heart. Solomon gave God unusual offering, and God began to, you know, tell him all sorts of things, that this is what I'm going to do as a result of what you have done. So, but thank God for Jesus Christ, who has made the ultimate sacrifice. God is not interested in, you know, your burnt offering anymore, the offering of animal. No. The death of Jesus supersedes 1 billion burnt offerings. So you and I, you know, we have been covenanted with Jesus Christ because he has already made the ultimate sacrifice. All we just need to do is to enter into it. So the question now is that, are you saved? Is your name written in the book of life? Are you saved and your name written in the book of life? Last weekend, we were celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, you and I, we are partaker of that divine grace. So you need to constantly ask yourself, are you saved? Is your name of life? The Bible tells the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in the flesh. I live by the Son of God who loved me and died for me. What are you now living? Say, is your name written in the book of life? This is a question for every one of us to answer and to assure, you know, yourself, between yourself and God, between myself and God, that your name and my name is written in the book of life, so that the death of Jesus Christ will not be in vain in your life. It will not be in vain in your life. It will not be in vain in my life, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, we have looked at the message I started to when I shut heaven. We have seen that the supremacy power of God. So it's not the time for us to begin to question God, but it's to key in to the power of God.
and recognize that our God, He rules over the affairs of all men, and ask for divine guidance, even in a time like this. And we have looked at how we can unlock our individual heaven, regardless of what is happening. And it is my prayer that our heaven, individual heaven, will continually remain open, even in a time like this, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want us to take a few prayer points before we round up. Let's take a few prayer points. Let's quickly turn our Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 68. I will read verse 8 to 12. Isaiah 68, verse 8 to 12. We're going to take some prayer points through that scripture. Isaiah 68, verse 8 to 12. Praise the Lord. I think I might have made a mistake there. So I was told there is no Isaiah 68. But I will just see what the verse says. Sorry for, maybe it's Isaiah chapter 58. He said, "But now, O Lord, we are our Father." So from verse 8, so we can check Isaiah 58. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I will just read what the scripture says. Sorry for that mistake there. He said, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are all your people. Your holy cities are wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of this thing, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely?" Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I think it's Isaiah 64. So 8 to 12. Isaiah 64, verse 8 to 12. So the first prayer point we're going to pray is that we're going to thank God because He's our Father, our Potter, and we are the clay. I want us to thank God because God is our Father, is our Potter, and we are the clay. Appreciate the Almighty God because He's our Father. We have Him as our Father. The scripture tells us that, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our Potter." Lord, we thank you. We are grateful unto you because you are our Father. Even in a time like this, Lord, you are our Father. You are our Potter. You, Lord, we are your clay. We are the works of your hands. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful unto you because of whom you are unto us. Blessed be your holy our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I want us to pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us. In every way, we have not surrendered even to His Lordship. The situation we have may be challenging, but still, God still wants us to surrender to His Lordship. He is the Lord over our lives. He's our Father, He's our Creator, He's our Maker. So He's a covenant-keeping God. He's an unquestionable God. Let's begin to ask the Lord will show us mercy. In any way, we have not surrendered to His Lordship, where we have complained, where we have murmured, where we have said even things that we are not supposed to say, even because of what is happening around us. Let's ask for mercy, even on behalf of our land. Let's ask for mercy on behalf of our nation. Let's ask for mercy on behalf of the nations of the earth. Let's ask for mercy in the name of Jesus, Almighty Father. Lord, to this hour, oh God, we acknowledge, oh God, our shortcomings. Lord, we recognize the fact that, Lord, in a time like this, Lord, we have not surrendered to your Lordship. We plead for mercy. Have mercy upon us, even as individual, as a church. We plead for mercy over our land. Have mercy over our nation. Have mercy over all the nations of the earth. Lord, where we have manifested pride, where we have not surrendered to your Lordship,
where we have said things, oh God, Lord, that are not, oh God, Lord, that are not proper in your sight. Lord, we ask for mercy. We plead for mercy, oh God, where we have complained, Lord, unnecessarily, where we have grumbled, oh God, Lord, where we have, oh God, Lord, say all sorts of things about your name. We plead for mercy in the name of Jesus. On behalf, oh God, for our political leaders, we ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. Over our land, over all the nations of the earth, have mercy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I want us to pray that God will remove every garment of pride, and he will clothe us with humility, and deliver us from every path that leads to destruction. So on a daily basis, many are going on in the path of destruction. So pray that the Lord will remove every garment of pride in our lives. Remember, the Bible says, if my people shall call by my name, shall humble themselves. So pray that the Lord will remove every garment of pride. He will clothe us with humility and deliver us from every path that leads to destruction. In the name of Jesus, Almighty Father, Lord, we come before you as your people, oh God. We do acknowledge, oh Lord, the Lord, the pride, oh God, we have manifested, oh God, in the time past, Lord, even, oh God, Lord, before now, we ask for mercy, oh Lord. We ask that you remove every garment of pride from our life, clothe us with humility, and deliver us from every path that leads to destruction, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. The scripture that we read, the Bible says in verse 10 to 11, it said, your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our Father prays you, is born with fire, and all pleasant things are laid waste. And what does desolation mean? It means a state of complete emptiness or destruction. And what of wilderness? What does it mean? It means a place of abandonment, a place that is being neglected. So we are going to pray that Father, please do not abandon or neglect us as your people. Even in a time like this, do not abandon our city of Calgary. Do not abandon our nation. Even in a time like this, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty Father, Lord, we plead with you, O God, Lord, even concerning our lives, concerning our city of Calgary, the nation of Canada, our Father and our God, Lord, we pray, do not abandon us, do not neglect us as your people, because the Bible says we are your people. Lord, we plead with you, do not let Calgary be a desolation city. Do not Canada be a desolation nation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we plead with you, O God, concerning our life, concerning our land, concerning our nation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not abandon us, even at this time, O God. Do not neglect us, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our city, let our nation not remain, O God, Lord, in wilderness, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let your life be restored. Let peace be restored in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring our land, our nation back to normal, even by your power, by your mercy, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our nation not become a desolation nation, in the name of Jesus. Let our city, our nation not be, oh God, Lord, a city, a nation of complete emptiness or destruction, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying.
Amen.
Lastly, we're going to pray 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. It tells us again that when I shut heaven and there is no rain, and I command locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people. So we are going to pray, Lord, deliver our land from every affliction, every plague, every pestilence called coronavirus that is devouring our land, devouring our nation. Let us cry unto the living God. the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He has sacrificed all, even for our sin. Let's hold on to that covenant and begin to ask that the Almighty God will deliver our land from every affliction, from every plague, from every pestilence. Solomon offered a burnt offering unto our God, and God made a covenant with him that if this happens and he prayed unto him that he's going to heal the land, how much more even our Lord Jesus Christ that has paid the all ultimate price and has made the ultimate sacrifice, our Father and our God, Lord, we come before you, O God, this hour, even as your people, as a church, O God, and we plead on behalf of our land, on behalf of our nation, all the nations of the earth, Lord, remember the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ even has made. Lord, you said in your word that when you search heaven, and Lord, O God, there is no rain, and you command locusts to devour the land, and you send pestilence among your people, and if your people which are called by your name, they shall humble themselves and pray and turn, O God, Lord, seek your face from their way. He said, then you hear from heaven, you forgive us and heal our land. Lord, this is our heart cry to you, God, this hour. Lord, we commit, O God, our city of Calgary. We commit, O God, our province of Alberta. We commit the nation of Canada unto you, and we use this more as a point of contact to all the nations of the earth. Lord, we plead with you. Deliver our land, deliver us, Lord, from every affliction, from every plague, from every pestilence called coronavirus that is devouring the land, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, we appreciate you, because you are a faithful God. We thank you so much, because we have you as our Father. We thank you because you have called us your people. Lord, we are grateful unto you because even in a time like this, we are still your people. We thank you so much because you have told us in your word. You have reminded us again that you are a covenant-keeping God. Lord, we know that you are an unquestionable God. We know, oh Lord, that you have the supreme power to do whatever that is right in your sight, and no one can question you. But in the midst of this, we know you are a merciful God. Lord, with a total submission, we surrender unto you, O God, even this day. We pray, O Lord, that you will forever rule over our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Almighty God, we declare your lordship over our lives individually, over every family represented in Jesus' palace, over our land. We declare your lordship over this city of Calgary. We declare your lordship over the province of Alberta, over the nation Canada. Lord, we ask that you will reign. You will reign in our lives, in our home. You will reign in our land. You will reign, O God, in our nation. You will reign in all the nations of the earth in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty Father, Lord, we pray, O Lord, you will show us your mercy, O Lord. And Lord, you will remember the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made even for us, for the sake, O God, of the elect. Solomon made burnt offering of animal unto you, and you enter into covenant with him. How much more your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that you sacrificed even for us. Lord, we pray, O Lord, let us continually be recipient of your mercy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And through your mercy, O God, Lord, you will deliver our land, our nation, even from this pestilence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as your people. The Bible says, the name of our God is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Father, men may be using old word, ordinary word, be saved. But Lord, our safety is in you. Lord, you are our strong tower. As individual, as a church, we join our faith together. We run unto your name.
And Lord, even in this challenging time, we are saved in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every one of us, every member of our household, everyone that is, oh God, identified with your church, Jesus Palace, everyone that is called by your name in our land, Lord, we are saved in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are saved from any, oh God, Lord, form of pestilence, from any form of coronavirus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are saved from any form of affliction. We are saved from any form of oppression. Because the word of God says, oppression shall be far away from us. Lord, that we only, oh God, hear by this, we only see. Lord, we pray that we will not be partaker of it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oppression shall be far away from us. As we go into this week, Lord, for the rest of the week, for the rest of the month and beyond, Lord, we pray that oppression shall be far away from every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for as many people that may be counting their losses at this time. We plead with you. You are a God of restoration. Restore every such losses in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everything the locust has eaten, you say you will restore. Father, according to your word, restore into our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. We are grateful. We are grateful. We pray that you continually renew our strength in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we go forth in this week, we go in your strength. We go in your name.
Amen.
And Lord, by this, we shall all be overcomers in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And when next time we come together through this forum, your name will be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We will come back with testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We give you all the glory, our Father. We appreciate you because you are a faithful Father. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.